Philo Torah Zoom Shiur for Yom Revi'i, Wednesday, the 17th day of Shvat, 5786, corresponding to February 4th. Tehillim. Kuf Nun. Hallelujah, hallelujah, El B'Kadsho, hallelujah, Birkiah Uzo. Hallelujah begvurotav, hallelujah karov gudlo. Hallelujah beteka shofar, hallelujah benevel vechinor. Hallelujah betofu machol, hallelujah beminim veugav. Hallelujah betzoltzalei shama, hallelujah betzoltzalei tua. Kol hanashama tahalel ya, hallelujah. Kuf kaf aleph. Shir lama alot, esa enai el heharim, me ayin yavo ezri. Ezri meim Adonai, osei shamayim v'oretz. Al yitain lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha, hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yaminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha, Me'ata v'yad olam. Kuf Lamed. Shir hama'alot mima'amakim k'raticha Adonai. Adonai shima v'koli tehiyena oznecha kashuvot l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmor ya Adonai mi'ya amod. Ki imcha haslicha l'ma'an tivarei. Kiviti Adonai kiveta nafshi v'lidvaro hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai. Mi shomerim la boker, shomerim la boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, ki im Adonai hachesed, v'harbe imo fedut, v'hu yifde et Yisrael, mikol avonotav. Mark.
Nishabirach avosenu Abraham Yitzhak Yaakov, v'yivaref es chayalei tzeva haganah liYisrael, v'esanchei kohot habikachon, hamodim al mishmar artenu v'arei Eloheinu v'alochamim ba'adenu, מן הלבנון והמדבר מצרים ומן הים הגדול עד לבוא הערבה ובכל מקום שהם ביבשה, באוויר ובים. יקהין אדוני אשר יבינו הקמים עלינו ניגפים לפניהם. הקדוש ברוך הוא ישבור ויציל את חיילינו מכל קרה וצוקה ומכל נגע מחלה. וישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם. ידבר שונאינו תחתיהם ויעטרם בחסר ישועו ועטרת ניצחון ויקוים בהם הכסוף. כי אדוני אלוהיכם ההולך עמכם להילחם לכם עם אויביכם להושיע אתכם ונאמר אמן.
Amen. Together. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya, haomedim bein bayam, bein bayabasha uvein baavir, hamakom yirachem alehem viyotziem mitzara liyirvacha umeafela laora, umishibud legu'ula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, v'imru amen. Somebody once explained a concept to me that this is over stereotyping and generalization, but it fits in a lot of people. Sfardim are really, really into davening. I've met and known otherwise irreligious Sfardim who refuse to be labeled as secular, chiloni, because they are traditional, and when it comes to davening, they know it by heart. That's how they were brought up, and that's how they continue. Ashkenazim, again, overgeneralized, are more into Torah learning than the counterparts in the Sephardi world. Not that there aren't Sephardi yeshivot, not that Sephardim don't learn Torah, and not that Ashkenazim don't daven, but there's a little bit of different emphasis. I once asked somebody, this is where this is coming from, I once asked a Rav, how come he seen people, yeshivot, seem to rush the davening sometimes in order to get back to the Beis Medrash? Isn't davening very important also? I'll give you a particular example. There are people, when they say Birkat HaMazon, that stop after Le'olam Al Yechasreinu. And they don't say all of the Harachamans, and they don't say Yiru Et Hashem at the end, Yiru, and they stop there. Okay, there's a certain technical logic to it, and that's the development of Birkat HaMazon was the first three brachot are considered fulfillment of the Deoraita, the Torah obligation. The Hatov HaMeitiv bracha that ends in Le'olam Al Yechasreinu was added by a Sanhedrin in the time of Yavne after Churban Bayit Sheni, and the rest came along somewhere along the way. So, in defense of ending it early, I can't say it's the origin, but one of the origins is yeshivot, where they decided to trim Birkat HaMazon after lunch so that Bachrim could get back where it really is important to learn. Now, again, I could be saying this without the proper emphasis, and maybe it's a little subjective what I'm suggesting. Train of thought, but all of this is part of the way I like to transmit to you. Way back when my daughters were in Yeshiva Katana, I knew the principal, still know him. And I was very upset when my daughters told me that on Yom HaShoah and Yom HaZikaron, when the siren goes off for 2 minutes, they spent a minute in silence, and the second minute they say Tehillim together. My feeling was you have an opportunity here, which is not that common, to be together with, united with the vast majority of people who live in Israel, including many, many people that don't say Tehillim. Why can't you stand for a minute or two in silence like other people do? So I said, if you were saying to me that our Talmidim say Tehillim 24 hours a day or 12 hours a day, then I could see not taking away the extra minute. But you can't tell me that you can't keep the kids 5 minutes more and say Tehillim after the quiet of the siren, not the quiet, after the silence that accompanies the siren. So you get my point. Curtailing Birkat HaMazon, to me, very annoying to be done, especially what we say there. Why shouldn't a person want to say Horachamon huyevorech oti ve'et ishti or et avi mori ve'imi morati? Why should he skip that to get back to the base medrash? Okay, I hear. I don't agree. And it was explained like this to me. When a person davens, he is talking to God. When a person learns Torah, God is talking to him. And they consider that more worthwhile, hearing God talk than talking to him. I said more than I meant to, but I just wanted to put it in that perspective. And I don't apologize for the Tehillim that we say. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I am pleased in the two situations here and in my minyan on Shabbos that I have the ability to call the shots, that we say the Tehillim slower and don't rush through it and don't suffice with one. You're talking about eight psukim in Shir HaMaalot, another eight psukim in Shir LaMaalot. So why curtail it to one if this is what people, should be doing? And certainly not rushing through it. And our addition of a Tehillah of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I think is very appropriate, as I've told you previously. Okay. Parshat Yitro. Monday, we spent all the time on Tu B'Shvat and fruit and brachot. Parshat Yitro is relatively small. There are only seven parshiot that have fewer psukim out of 54. So it's way down there. And yet it contains a very significant portion of the Torah called the Aseret HaDibrot. Interesting to note, the Torah calls the Aseret HaDibrot Aseret HaDivarim. I don't know why we call it the Aseret HaDibrot if it's called Aseret HaDvarim, but that's the way it is. What's worse is the well-known English rendition of the term, the Ten Commandments. And that's very misleading. And I've told you why, so I'll tell you again. Within the portion of the Aseret HaDibrot in Parshat Yitro, there are 13 psukim. There are 14 mitzvot, and that word mitzvot is usually translated as commandments, and I think 14 parshiot, which don't always align with the commandments, with, I'll call it commandments now, but you know that I don't like the term. So let's take a look at what we're talking about. The first statement, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim Mibeit Avadim. I am Hashem, your God, who took you out of Egypt, out of a house of bondage. That, as different Mefarshim understanding it differently. Rambam and the Sefer Achinuch, who almost always follows the Rambam, say that that is one of the Tariag mitzvot, belief in God. Just like you have a mitzvah to eat matzah on Leil HaSeder, and you have a mitzvah to put a mezuzah on your doorpost, you have a mitzvah to believe in God. There are others who have a different way of looking at it, and they say a mitzvah to believe in God when all of Tariag is either you accept as God's mitzvot or you don't. In other words, maybe this is a feeble analogy. I was thinking in terms of the instructions for playing a game, Monopoly. The first rule in Monopoly is not you must follow these instructions, because that goes without saying. You want to play Monopoly, you want to play by the rules, you follow these instructions. You don't need to be told that as one of the instructions. It could be an introduction, which is what Mefarshim do with this first pasuk of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Since I am God, your God, who took you out of Egypt, I am commanding you, Lo yielecho Elohim achirim al panai, not to have any other gods before me, and so on through the rest of the Aseret HaDibrot and the rest of the Torah. So they don't look at Anochi as a command. The difficulty in seeing it as a command, by the way, I am 100% Rambam fan, so I do consider it a command, one of Tariag mitzvot, but the argument against it says, look at the words. It does not say, speak to the people of Israel and command them to believe in God. It sounds like a statement. I am Hashem. And our oral Torah, or at least echoed by the Rambam and others, is that that should be understood as a mitzvat aseh, to believe in God. The other things you have to realize about this is the sentence itself of Anochi Hashem Elokecha does not seem to include the unity of God. In other words, a person, you might think, don't get me wrong here, because I don't, it's not so, but you might see that sentence as saying, well, if there's a person who believes in a supreme being, God, and that there are assistant gods, junior gods, partner gods of rain and of fire and of mountains and of the sea, then that would not be a violation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeiticha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Yet it is a violation. Built in to the oral Torah, remember that's from the Torah itself, is that belief in God includes the belief in his absolute unity, which we learn from another pasuk, or let's say which we are taught from another pasuk, and it's counted as a mitzvah there. And that pasuk also doesn't sound like a command. Can you figure out which pasuk I'm talking about? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. That pasuk sounds like a statement, and yet it is presented to us as a mitzvah aseh among the other 204, the total of 248 mitzvot aseh in the Torah, part of Taryag, to believe in God, in his unity, in his being one, uniquely one. And I don't know how you're taking this, because if this is new to you, it sounds a little weird to count it as a separate mitzvah when I'm claiming it's part of that mitzvah. Now, it turns out that Anochi Hashem Elokecha is also expected of all people of the world to believe in God. That's why we see the other main monotheistic religions as being a step in the proper direction for the world over paganism. So let's say Islam. Islam believes in one God. They take very seriously no graven images. There was a movie I used to see every year at a certain, I guess during Ramadan, TV movie about the beginning of Islam. And some of those movies won't show a character called Muhammad because they don't want to have any images that could potentially be worshipped or whatever. Any event, Christianity, other situation, whether the Trinity is a violation of Avodah Zarah or not, that's an interesting discussion by itself. But Anochi Hashem Elokecha is the first commandment, the first dibra, the first dibur, and it is the command to believe in God. Then you have the second, pardon the expression, commandment, which is made up of four mitzvot. The first one, Lo yihyelecha Elohim acherim al ponai, is something that is not based on action. It is based on thought and feeling. You don't need any action of worship in order to violate Lo yihyelecha Elohim acherim al ponai. It could be totally in your thinking and in your feeling. That's followed by action. First one is not to make any graven images, no idols. And the note there is, even if you don't worship them, the making of a graven image for worship by somebody else is an Iser Torah from commandment number two, and it's counted as a lo ta'aseh. So is bowing to an idol, even if you don't worship it. So picture in your mind the stories of forced conversion or forced rejection of Judaism. I'm thinking, let's say, the story of Hannah and her seven sons from the Purim, from the Hanukkah story. One of the things there is that she had seven sons. The first six were executed for refusing to bow down to an idol. And then The king was confronted with a young kid, so he decided to play a trick on him, and he put his ring on the floor in front of the idol, and he just asked him to pick it up. And he refused, and he was killed also. And then that awoken in my thought years ago, what if a person wants to save his life by bowing down as he's being forced to, but as he's bowing, he says under his breath, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and he spits on the idol in disgust, and then straightens up and says, I did what you asked. It's an Isur Torah of a very serious level to bow to an idol, to a deity, even if you don't worship. This, by the way, is one of the explanations given to why Mordechai refused to bow to Haman. One of the explanations. Because bowing, when it's not a religious thing, is acceptable. You can bow to a king unless the king considers himself a god. Then it becomes forbidden to bow. And some of the Mefarshim say that Haman deified himself and wore some kind of idol around his neck and considered bowing to him not just as a courtesy to an important person, but in a religious sense. And that's why Mordechai had to refuse. So I remember at Yeshiva University when the judo team asked Rav Soloveitchik about the ceremonial bowing at a competition to your enemy, to your, not enemies, your rivals, whatever you want to call it, your opponents. And he paskened that they were allowed to do that because it was not a religious thing. It was a courtesy in the way the game is played, the way the art is played. Okay, so that's that again, not believing in any gods, that's in your mind, in your heart, no action. Making an idol, that's an action, even if you don't observe, worship. Bowing is an action, even if you don't worship. And the fourth one is worshiping either in one of the four universal methods of worship, which are bowing. Oh, wait a minute, I just said bowing. Yes, but that was bowing even if you don't mean it. This is bowing as a form of worship. Bowing, sacrificing animals, pouring wine on an altar, and burning incense. Those are the four actions that are considered universal for all religions, even if you'll find a particular pagan religion that doesn't have that or one of them, and they have other things. That's included in v'lo ta'avdeim, not to serve them. So let's clarify this. Let's say there is a particular pagan religion with an idol where it is worshipped not by any of the traditional things, but by spitting on it or putting food in front of it or dropping a gold coin on top of it. Those actions for this idol would be forbidden. For another idol to sprinkle or to put food in front of it, if that's not a way of worship, would not be usur. But bowing would, even if they don't do that in that religion, and so would sacrificing, and so would ketoret, and so would libation, pouring of wine. Now, why am I saying all of these things and taking time of it? And when was the last time any of us, did any of these things in any event? The fact of the matter is that bowing is very much part of our tradition as well. I do remember very fondly, if I could use that word, how many times I couldn't count, my mother would say, "Get off your knees. Get off your knees." That could be when we're sitting on the floor playing with Lego or sitting on the floor playing a game. Get off your knees. Why? Because the goyim kneel. We know that we have kneeling in Judaism also. I don't know how my mother felt about it, but Yom Kippur time and what do you call it? Aleinu on Rosh Hashanah, when we do Korim, we bow, put our head to the ground. We don't spread out completely because that's an extreme form of bowing, which is only allowed on Har HaBayit. And interesting about that, first time I went up to Har HaBayit many years ago, Rav Yisrael Ariel was arrested for bowing. And today, meaning in the last number of months, Jews do full prostrating bow. I always hesitate when I say that word because I don't want to say prostrate themselves, are doing it in the open in front of the WAC, the Islamic Religious Council. And I think it's to the credit of Ben Gvir, who has changed the second-class citizenship, or progressed in changing the second-class citizenship of Jews on Har HaBayit. This is without discussing whether Jews should go to Har HaBayit or not. That's another discussion, not for now. So bowing is not forbidden because it's a goyish thing to do. It's a universal form of worship. We, in our worship of God, have to conform to halachic standards. So you can't just do it when you're not supposed to do it. And we certainly can't do it in a other religious context of a different religion because of the Isur. So that's that. One second. Now, so to recap, first commandment, one pasuk, heart of a parsha. It's linked with Lo Yelech Olehim Acherim Al Ponai and the others. So the first two dibrot are contained in one parsha. For those who don't remember, the Torah does not have psukim divisions, doesn't have perek. The only divisions in the Torah, obviously between words, a blank space, a little tiny space, and between books, from Shemot to Vayikra, Bereishit to Shemot, four empty lines in the Sefer Torah, and Parshiot. Parshiot, closest I would suggest to it is like a paragraph, but maybe a section is better. And there are two types of those. There is Parsha Pituha, which we see in a Sefer Torah today, beginning a new line. You look at the previous line, blank space from the end of the previous Parsha. And if there's not enough space there, let's say the previous Parsha goes to the end, the Sofer won't do that. He will stretch the line before it to kick at least one more word onto the next line so that the rest of the line is left blank and the new Parsha Petucha can continue on the beginning of a line. The other Parsha is a Parsha Situmah, closed off, and that's when a Parsha ends, a blank space of a certain minimum number of letter widths is left, and the new Parsha begins on the same line. So, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai, and Lo Taseh Lecha Kol Pesel, v'chule v'chule. It's all part of one Parsha, two commandments, we would call it, and five mitzvot. Continue. The next is its own Parsha, one Pasuk, one Parsha, one mitzvah. That's sort of nice because you could breathe a little without this confusion. And that is Lo Tisa Et Shem Elokecha Lashav. Don't take God's Hashem Elokecha Lashav. Don't take God's name in vain. Before I continue on that, let me go back one more thing. We have a tradition, and it's borne out by the grammar in the psukim, that you have Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I, says God, am your God. Second person. Asher Hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim beit avadim. That means, or that indicates, that he was speaking to us. Second pasuk, Lo yihyelecha Elohim acherim al ponai. And that also is first person God to second person us. And we have that tradition that the first two sentences, the first two psukim, were commanded by God Himself, and that's when Bnei Israel panicked. Now, there's a little problem here, and that's why there's dispute among Mefarshim. But let's look at the next pasuk. Actually, Lo taseh lecha pesel v'chol tmunah, Lo tishtachaveh lahem, v'lo ta'avdeim. Okay, so the whole first two commandments are directed to second person. Once you get to the third commandment, which I just mentioned about taking God's name in vain, it's lo tisa et shem. Hashem Elokecha lashav. No, wait a second. I'll put my. Okay, sorry. Again. Anochi, I. Lo yelecha Elohim achirim al ponai. That's God speaking to us. Lo ta'aselecha fesel v'chol tmunah asher b'shamayim mimal v'asher ba'aretz mitachat v'asher b'mayim mitachat la'aretz. Lo tishtachaveh lahem v'lo ta'avdeim. Ki. Okay, I'm having a problem here distinguishing on the grammar level. There's definitely a distinction, but I'm finding questions that I have to ask before I could share the answer with you. The tradition. There are two traditions. We heard all of the Aseret HaDibrot from God, but we didn't understand what he was saying because he was speaking in a divine way of talking. Then we panicked and asked Moshe, you tell us what God wants and we'll do it. And then one tradition is that we heard the first two sentences, Anochi and Lo Yelecha, from God himself, and the rest was transmitted to us in an understandable form by Moshe Rabbeinu. This is borne out by an old tradition of the 613 mitzvot. If you remember, where do we get the number 613 from? We get it from Torah. Tziva lanu Moshe. Moshe taught us Torah. Torah, Tav Vav Resh He, is 611.
11.
And another two, or the first two, Mipi HaGevurah, from God Himself. So that's one of the supporting sources to our hearing those first two sentences, not even the full second commandment, from God Himself. Okay. And then it was Moshe transmitting to us based on our petition to him. Now, the Torah records this right after the Aseret HaDibrot. And then when Moshe is telling the new generation about this whole thing in Devarim, he repeats it. But what we have here in Yitro is V'chol Ha'am. This is immediately after the Ten Commandments. V'chol Ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot ve'et ha'lapidim ve'et kol ha'shofar ve'et ha'har ha'shen. Vayar ha'am vayanu'u vayamdu merachok. They were afraid and panicky about the awe of Ma'amad Har Sinai, and they stood back. They couldn't stay that close. to Har Sinai that was smoking and fire and thunder and the sound of the shofar. Vayomru el Moshe, they said to Moshe, Daber ata imonu, you speak to us, v'nishma'a, and we will listen. Va'al yedaber imonu Elokim pen namut, and let God not speak to us, lest we die. Vayomer Moshe el Ha'am, al tirau. So his first response was, don't be afraid. Ki leva'avur nasot etchem bo ha'elokim. Because God is coming to you and you're hearing him as a test or an experience. Uva'avur tehiyeh yirato al pneihem levilti techetao. And that you should have proper awe and fear of God, and you won't sin. Vaya'amod ha'am me'rachok, u'Moshe nigash el ha'arafel asher sham ho'elokim. And Moshe alone approached the fog, or whatever you want to call it, that was surrounding the mountain to God on his own. Now, what this implies is that had it not been from the panic of the people, we might have had heard not just all of the Aseret HaDibrot, but we might have heard all of the mitzvot of the Torah from God. Yet when Moshe is reviewing this with the people in Parshat Devarim and then in Vayetchanan, I think in Vayetchanan it's right up front. Listen to how it sounds there. Panim b'fanim diber Hashem imachem bahar mitoch ha'esh, v'nochi omeid bein Hashem uveinechem bo'ei tahi, lahagid lachem et devar Hashem. I am the intermediary between God and you. Why? Ki yireitem mipnei ha'esh v'lo Alitem Bahar, and you did not ascend the mountain, you left it to me to ascend the mountain. And then it continues, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And right after that, let me just make sure. Et hadvarim ha'ela diber Hashem el kol kahalchem. Bahar mitocha esh ha'anan v'harafel, kol gadol v'lo yasaf, v'yichtaveim al shnei luchot avanim v'yitneim elai. God wrote this all down, what he said there, and gave it to me on stones of tablets. V'yehi b'shamachem et hakol mitocha achoshech, when you heard the voice of God from the darkness, v'ha'har bo'er ba'esh, and the mountain was fiery. V'tikrevun elai kol rashei shifteichem v'zikneichem. All of your leaders and elders approached me. V'tomru, and they said, hein heranu Hashem Elokeinu et kvodo v'et gadlo. God has already demonstrated his greatness for us. V'et kolo shamanu mitocha esh. Hayom hazeh ra'inu, ki yedaber Elokim et ha'adam v'chai. We now know that it's possible for God to speak to humans without our dropping dead. V'yata lama namus, very strange, lama namut. Why should we die? Ki tocheleinu ha'esh ha'gedolah hazot, im yosfim. Anachnu lishmo et kol Hashem Elokeinu od v'matnu. So they were afraid. They accepted the fact that they heard God's voice. They panicked, and they said to Moshe, "You tell us what to do." And later in the Chumash and Devarim, that's the idea behind a Navi Emet, a prophet. That was God's deal. God agreed to that, provided we listen to the Nevi'im, starting with Moshe and onward. Okay. So, third commandment, quickly, not taking God's name in vain. That means swearing with God's name, either as false Shvuat Shav, or vain. What's vain? A wasted, disrespectful use of God's name in an oath. You don't have to swear to God that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. Anybody with any kind of knowledge or intelligence knows that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So to swear to that using Hashem's name would be a violation of the Torah prohibition of Lo Tisa Ad Shem Elokecha Lashav. What about just saying God's name? You notice that we all try to be careful. I say Hashem a lot and Elokeinu, and I don't use the name. Obviously, in davening I do, and in Torah reading I do. And I'm supposed to really do it in full psukim, but since I sometimes break up a pasuk and explain what it says, I still use the words Hashem and Elohim. We had a discussion once about whether in Zmirot you use God's name or you disguise it with Hashem and Kael, Haribon Olam, for example, without saying Shem Hashem Yud Kei. And there's an argument yes, and there's an argument no. And I'm convinced that in Zmirot it's appropriate to use God's name, but you have to be careful because people sometimes repeat, repeat, repeat in a song. I started, for example, when we sing Mizmor LeDavid at Suda Shlishit, Veshavti, Veshavti, Veshavti Beveis. Then I could say it because I'm saying it only once. So I use Shem Hashem. But sometimes that gets repeated and it's not really nice to repeat unnecessarily Hashem's name. Bracha Levatala is more than just saying God's name when it shouldn't be, when it's not appropriate. If you say a full bracha that's either levatala, wasted, or a bracha she'ena tzricha, one that was not necessary, which is equal to a bracha levatala, then some want to suggest that that's also part of the isur of commandment number three, not taking God's name in vain. Stam saying his name is disrespectful. It's a violation of Et Hashem Elokecha Tira. We should have reverence for God's name, and that manifests itself by not saying his name when it's not appropriate. And it's not on the level of a bracha levatala. That's why there's a strange thing, and it came up last night in a shiur that I gave, where we had refreshments set out. Sorry, I can't do that with Zoom. But there were pretzels and pieces of brownie on the table. So I said, here's an example. You take a brownie, you make a mezonot, you eat it. Then you grab yourself a handful of pretzels and you absentmindedly, automatically start saying, before you put it in your mouth, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Borei Minei. At that point, you realize you shouldn't be saying this bracha again. It's covered by the bracha you made on the brownies. So one guy suggested, well, if you're up to that already, why not finish the bracha? Because it's a bracha. It wouldn't be a lie. That's what you say on pretzels, even though you didn't have to in this case because you already were covered by a previous one. So I said two things. First of all, your Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Borei Minei, eight words were all absent-minded, not mazed, not intentional. You add that last word in the knowledge that this bracha should not be said, you turn the whole thing into a bracha she'ena tzricha, which is equal to a bracha levatala. So what do? Stop immediately. And this same thing happens, which I don't think happens as often, but it can happen. I remember doing it only once, where I usually we daven mincha late in the afternoon, and one time I ended up helping out as part of a minyan for early mincha, and I got up at my usual after time in shul and started davening mincha. And then in the middle of the Amidah, I realized, been there, did it. You stop immediately. Any word that you continue to say, it's part of a bracha, any word that you continue to say is intentional. So you have to suffice it to say, oops, and that's it. And you could say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto Le'Olam Va'ed or whatever to get out of it. Anyway, that's bracha number three. Bracha number four, I don't have an answer why, but it's the only part of Aseret HaDibrot that starts as a parsha petucha. It's an open parsha, beginning of a line, Zochorot Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho, followed by Lo Ta'aseh Kol Malacha, not to do any manner of malacha. This is one parsha, which contains two mitzvot, the mitzvot and four psukim, and it contains the mitzvot aseh, called Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho, which primarily, but not exclusively, is the saying of Kiddush on Friday night, not at the table yet, but in davening. The middle bracha of Arvit is Mekadesh HaShabbat. That is a fulfillment of the mitzvot aseh in the Torah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho. When you say Atah Chanantonu, or even Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol at the end of Shabbat, you're also fulfilling the Torah's mitzvah of Zachor, because oral law explains Zachor as Zachrehu B'chnisato Uvetzeto. Remember the Shabbat and make it holy as it enters and as it leaves. Chazal came along and said, true, you can fulfill the mitzvah in your davening on Friday night, but we want you to go home, fill a cup of wine, and do it again. So that essentially is a derabbanan. I say essentially because there's a little bit of a problem here. And Havdalah is the same thing. Yes, you ended Shabbat. Yes, it's Shabbos is over. Yes, you said Atah Chanantonu or Baruch HaMavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. Do it again. Take a cup of wine, take a container of besamim, take a candle with multiple wicks, and make Havdalah al HaKos, and that is rabbinic. Now here's the catch. When a person davens on Friday night, if a person davens on Friday night, when he davens on Friday night, now I say if because not religious, but let's say a woman who doesn't daven on Friday night. There could be somebody like that. No offense to anybody. But even those who do daven are saying the Amidah of Arvit on Friday night because they're davening Maariv. I don't know how many people pause when they get to finish with Hakel HaKadosh and are about to say Atah Kiddushta and have kavana to fulfill the mitzvah of the Torah of Zachor et Yom HaShabbat L'Kadosho. That puts into question whether you consider that a fulfillment of the mitzvah or only when you get to your table and you make Kiddush on wine, because that you're doing because it's a mitzvah. It's not, well, I was just drinking wine anyway, so I got the mitzvah. No, you have stuff to say, and it's not in the context of davening where it could sort of get lost in your kavana. Same thing, by the way, goes to Leman Tizkor at Yom Tzeitcha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha, remembering the Exodus every day of your life. That is fulfilled when you say the last pasuk in Shema, Ani Hashem Elokeichem Asher Hotzeiti Etchem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Liot Lachem Lelokim Ani Hashem Elokeichem. However, some Sidurim now, I never saw it in the older Sidurim, but some of the newer Sidurim actually put in little print, have Kavana L'Shem Mitzvah of remembering Yetziat Mitzrayim every day of your life. And then you say it. So the question is a broader question, not for now. Do mitzvot require kavana in order to count? Or can you fulfill a mitzvah even without kavana? The question is more complicated like that because it depends what the mitzvah is. Some mitzvot absolutely require kavana. Others you could get away with without kavana. But look at the drawback in that. You pick up your lulav and esrog and you hold them together. You're fulfilling the mitzvah of arba minim. And then you said, oh, but I didn't say a bracha yet. So you can't say a bracha if you held them together. That's where the practice came to either hold the etrog upside down or hold it away from the lulav so that the mitzvah only follows the bracha. And the same thing goes with how much is tonight in the Omer? Oh, tonight's the 13th night. If you say that, Bein Hashmashot, after sunset, even before you daven Ma'ariv and count the Omer, you probably can't say a bracha that night because you inadvertently counted the Omer and you didn't mean to, but maybe you don't need to mean to in order to get credit for the mitzvah. Okay, so that's Zachorot Yom HaShabbat L'Kadsho. And then you have the prohibitions, the 39 categories of Av Melachot, the countless categories of Toladot, the even more countless mitzvot and dinim derabbanan and halachot and minhagim related to Shmirat Shabbat, but that's rolled into one in that fourth commandment. Fifth commandment, Kibud Av Va'em, it's partnered with Ish Imo V'Aviv Tira'u from Parshat Kedoshim. Get into that a different time, hopefully. Then you have an interesting pasuk, one pasuk, which has four parshiot and four of the Ten Commandments, four different mitzvot, all prohibitions, lo tirzach, thou shalt not murder, lo tinaf, thou shalt not commit incest or adultery, lo tignov, which many of the Mefarshim explain is not kidnapping, meaning stealing a person. Lo tignov, not stealing possessions, is coming up in the next sedra of lo tignovu and lo tigzalu. But this one refers to kidnapping. And lo ta'aneh bereyacha eid shaker is not bearing false witness. Now these four are separated by blank spaces within the same pasuk. They make up, the first three, make up very cute little two-word parshiot. Contrast that with the largest parshiot in the Torah are the sedras of Vayetze and the sedra of Miketz. Those two sedras each are very, very long parshiot. I checked. Each one is over 2,000 words long. And lo tirzach is a cute little parsha of two words. Now, when we read the Torah in what's called Ta'amei Ha'elyon, Mark, demonstrate that pasuk, please.
Sorry, which one? Lo tirzach?
Yes.
Okay. I'll do it. Lo tirzach.
Continue.
Lo tinaf. I have to check the rest.
Lo
tignov. Lo sach mod.
No, tignov, tignov.
Lo tignov. Oh. La tigno.
And
next?
Eid Sheker. Lo tirtach, lo tinaf, lo tigno, lo ta'anebecha.
Lo sa'anebecha, Eid
Sheker.
Lo sa'anebecha, Eid Sheker, Recha.
Sorry I put you on the spot. I mean, I'm not sorry I put you on the spot. I'm sorry that I put you on the spot. Those four, when you read it in Tommy Helion, each one comes out by its own because it's Dibra number six, Dibra number seven, Dibra number eight, and Dibra number nine. When you read it as a pasuk, as in Ta'ameh HaTachton, the lower, softer notes, the more prosaic notes, the ones that are not accompanied by a drum roll, it comes out as Lo Tirzach, Lo Tinaf, Lo Tan, Lo Tignov, Lo Taneh B'reyacha Eid Shaker, just like any other pasuk. Now, the world, the Jewish world, all over the world and in Israel, with an exception, reads on Yitro, on Shavuot morning, and Vaet Chanan, the three times we read in public the Aseret HaDibrot, read them with Ta'ameh HaElyon as commandments. And some of them are fused into the sound of a single pasuk, even though they're made up of four psukim, or separated, even though they're part of one pasuk. When you read it in Tameha Elyon, when you read it in Tameha Tachton, it's read like the rest of the Torah, pasuk, 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 pasuk. Minhag Yerushalayim, asterisk, based on the traditions of the Vilna Gaon, brought to Yerushalayim by his Talmidim, his followers in 1802 and onward, they introduced Minhag Yerushalayim, which is followed by some Ashkenazi communities, not all in Yerushalayim, and some outside Yerushalayim, but certainly not all. And that is only on Shavuot morning do you read Ta'ameh HaElyon, and on Yitro, because it's part of a Sedra, and on Vo'et Chanan, because it's in the Sedra, you read it like Psukim. And I think that strikes a nice balance that we shouldn't over venerate the Aseret HaDibrot, but we can't give it the short shrift either. So it needs the drum roll and respect of Ten Commandments, but it also needs to be plugged in like the rest of the Torah read by Pasuk and Pasuk. There's more, but I'll let you go with that. And wish you a good Shabbos. And thank you for being here.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom. Thank you.
I should take a
Thank
screenshot.
you.
Just
Shabbat
take a screenshot. I'm taking a screenshot of this screen.
shalom.
Don't go away. Oh, now it doesn't matter. There we go. Just in case no one shows up at a Zoom, I could put a screenshot of this page and give a share to it anyway. Just kidding.
Thank you. Shabbat shalom.
Bye, Shalom.